And we're on the Facebook Live, too. Ignore the cameras. Ignore the cameras. Let us begin. It is The Drive. We're at the peak of the week, as Doug Lear likes to say in the morning. It's Wednesday. Everything is downhill from here as we make our way through the week here on The Drive. We have in our studio with us Troy Larson. He's a co-worker. He's an author, a photographer. He's a husband, a dad. He lives at a haunted house. He's the host of a new KFGO.com podcast, Tale of True Crime. Did I get that one right?
Tales of True Crime.
Tales of True Crime. And that's available at KFGO.com. He's got a new one coming up. I love on your podcast where you introduce it by saying mysteries of the underworld abound and Tales of True Crime is a podcast about those stories of crime and justice. Accounts of capers infamous and shocking, whether solved or yet to be answered. And among those cases, we've talked previously about genetic DNA,
mm-hmm.
and we've talked about the Zodiac Killer.
Yep.
And we're going to hear about that. Discussions on cases long cold, DNA analysis, genetic genealogy, the Zodiac Killer. And you also have podcast about Halloween.
Yes, I have one coming up, a special Halloween podcast coming up this Friday that is... it took place on Halloween. The original crime happened on Halloween night, 1968. And that was what made me decide to feature that.
The American tradition of Halloween has become a popular holiday. For some, yours truly included, it's a holiday to rival all others. One particularly popular Halloween tradition is the thrill we get of indulging our fear. Every year, millions exult in the adrenaline rush of a haunted house attraction or a night of scary movies on the sofa. We grab a big bowl of popcorn, light some candles, turn out the lights, and dare the characters on the screen to frighten us. We enjoy it because deep down inside, we know it's harmless. Our cold human logic reminds us frights like these are too over the top. The evils we encounter in real life are comparatively mundane. Ancient evil spirits don't inhabit the body of children's dolls bent on murder. Superhuman, unkillable psychopaths in hockey masks don't stalk summer camp counselors with machetes. A disembodied force, death itself, does not stalk us to make us pay for misdeeds done decades earlier.
So that's the part of the open of the podcast. And what is the story behind that? What happened on Halloween night and when?
It was 1968, and a little girl, sadly, her name was Carolee Ashby, in upstate New York near Syracuse, was walking with her sister to a drugstore, and they were holding hands crossing a busy street, and the little girl was a step or two behind her older sister, and a car sped through an intersection and tragically struck and killed her. And we did not get an answer for who was responsible for that crime for almost 50 years. And when we finally got the answer, it turned out it was beyond the reach of law because the statute of limitations had passed. So the man who did it confessed and never faced justice. But the surprise ending to Friday's podcast is that he eventually did face karmic justice of another kind.
So, and that one will be published Friday.
Yep, that'll be up Friday. As a matter of fact, I might get it up tomorrow if I hurry.
I found some other audio as I was perusing your audio, talking about the Zodiac Killer. Is that from a previous entry into Tales of True Crime?
Yep, that's from episode 4, and that is up at KFGO.com if you go scroll through the podcasts.
The letter was signed with what would become the Zodiac signature. A circle bisected with a cross, a symbol that resembled the crosshairs of a gun sight, and the words, "No address." The Zodiac claimed when police were able to decode his cipher, his name would be in the message. It wasn't. According to the Palm Springs Desert Sun, August 13, 1969, a history teacher at an area high school, Donald Hardin, and his wife Betty, were the first to decode the Zodiac's first three-part cipher, despite a week-long effort by Navy and FBI codebreakers. The cipher, lightly edited for clarity, read as follows.
I like killing people because it is so much fun. It is more fun than killing wild game in the forest because man is the most dangerous animal of all.
And Mike, the thing I'm left with thinking, boy, I was really caught up in that, is how did that history teacher and his wife find those words amongst all of those that he had written?
Yeah, he was very talented in terms of he kind of had an amateur interest in code breaking. And he was able to, what made the Zodiac's code so hard to break was he used symbols from all different kinds of languages. So he would use English characters, he would use Celtic characters, he would use characters that were used like in naval codes. And so this teacher, he was able to go, okay, well, this is a Celtic symbol, this is an American character or an English character, this is from a naval code manual, and he was able to put that all together with his knowledge of the English language and break the code.
Wow.
Yeah, fascinating.
And so we know that about the Zodiac Killer.
Mm-hmm.
He knows how to do that.
Right. Yep. And that's why many have speculated that he might be a former military man. For years, they've been saying the Zodiac was probably in the Navy or something.
How long has it been since the Zodiac Killer struck?
Confirmed would be right around 1970, end of 1969, early 1970. And then there are some speculated attacks that took place in the early 70s, but confirmed, yeah, late 60s.
Mm-hmm. And he hasn't written any notes since then, as far as we know.
Right, as far as we know. But we learned from the Golden State Killer a couple years ago, he could still be alive. He could be 80, 85 years old today.
Mm-hmm. I did read, and I thought of you, and I wish I would have shared it. I wish I would have sent it along to you, but it was Sunday morning. It was kind of unsettling, but they have a fellow who's quite old in custody. He's serving life. He is a serial killer. And lately they ask him, well, can you draw? They notice that he could draw. He said,
oh,
can you draw your victims, what they look like?
Mm-hmm.
And he did.
Right.
And he could. And it's resulted in people going, my God, that's my daughter.
Right. I think you're talking about Samuel Little, who is has now the FBI has confirmed that he is the most prolific serial killer ever. They believe he has killed as many as 93 people.
Mm-hmm.
And they've confirmed 50 of his murders, and they're trying to confirm the other 43 now.
There are a lot of the pictures that he has drawn that no one has recognized yet.
Right.
You know, or perhaps
yep.
ever will. But it
yep.
might be a classmate or something like that that would happened to accidentally read that article, but it's just amazing, and his crimes date back a long time, and I looked at the map. He didn't do anything in North Dakota.
No, he didn't. He is all over the country though, which is one of the reasons it's been so hard to investigate his case. They believe he did murders in Texas, Arizona, Colorado, California. I think Montana was one of the states. I mean, they're just he apparently had a crime spree that lasted 40 years and all over the country.
Mm-hmm. And they've got him, and now he's identifying them by drawing their images. And
mm-hmm.
and if what's his name again?
Samuel Little.
If you do a search on it, you can find the pictures.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, the FBI released a whole dossier of information on their website at FBI.gov where you can look at the pictures that he drew, and if you have a tip, they have an address, tips.FBI.gov, a page there where you can just go and fill out a form and go, hey, I recognize this person.
All right. The poor gals.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's they got him. And I wonder how they got him, but he must have done something they could hold him on. And
I have not read up on it yet, yeah. But you can be sure it's going to be a future episode of Tales of True Crime.
All right, good. Glad you stopped by.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Troy Larson. Also, So Many Secrets by Troy Larson. You can just do a simple Google search. You'll find his story. It's still up, right?
It is still up, and I've got another episode in mind sometime soon here.
Okay, you keep saying that.
I know. I'm working hard on the podcast, Jack.
Not easy spilling the beans, is it?
That's right.
All right, man. Thank you.
Thank you.
It's 8.